This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The president threatening to ban TikTok.
The president threatened to ban TikTok over fears that the Chinese government could get access to users' private data.
We may be banning TikTok. We may be doing some other things. There are a couple of options.
The issue with TikTok is not the funny videos. The issue is the data. And that data is captured by a company that ultimately is owned by a Chinese company that ultimately must do whatever the Chinese government tells them to do.
TikTok has admitted that it has sent user data to China.
And today, the president faced a chorus of anger from TikTok users.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You accused Dr. Deborah Birx of the Coronavirus Task Force of spreading disinformation about the pandemic.
I don't have confidence in anyone who stands there while the president says, swallow Lysol and it's going to cure your virus.
Catfight?
The House Speaker on another network just said that she does not have confidence in either the president or you, Dr. Birx.
See you, catfight.
I will stake my 40-year career on those fundamental principles of utilizing data to really implement better programs to save more lives.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Clinical trials that have looked at the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine have indicated that it is not effective.
It eradicates the symptoms. It eradicates the virus. We see patients day one, we put them on hydroxychloroquine, they come back day 7, day 10, and they're negative.
Safer than Tylenol, for sure. Aspirin and Motrin.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Because folks, it's my coaches say it's go-to time. It's go time now.
Yeah, that's it. It's go time.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. And last week, the mayor of Washington, D.C. issued a proclamation. All residents and persons traveling to and from high-risk areas within the prior 14 days for non-essential travel must self-quarantine for 14 days following their return or arrival to the district. Now, 50 members of Congress went down to Atlanta, which is a high-risk area, according to Mayor Bowser, for the funeral of the late Congressman John Lewis. But guess what? They don't have to quarantine. Rules for thee, but not for me.
Are we making exemptions for certain people?
The mayor classified Congressman Lewis's funeral as government activity. But if you go down to the funeral for your aunt in Decatur, Georgia, and you return to D.C., you will have to quarantine for 2 weeks. Just make sure you go to the right funerals. That's all I can say. Welcome to the show. If you'd like to join us, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. And with us is Grace with the news.
Hello, everyone. I am here to give you the latest and the greatest in news. I want to start with TikTok. TikTok is in the news a lot lately because President Trump is talking about banning the app. It is a Chinese-owned company, and there's a lot of security threats involved with it. But I have a story that's a little more entertaining for us about TikTok. I'm going to read you a tweet from David Hogg.
David Hogg of Parkland High School fame.
We're going to call this segment Before and After, okay?
He's a Harvard man now, you know.
Now, you're going to have to guess what changed in the before and the after. This is a before tweet.
Donald Trump came out against
Howie,
TikTok.
You have to let me read the tweets.
I could spot it, though. I mean, you gave it away.
3/25/20. This is what David Hogg tweeted.
March 25th.
TikTok is a national security threat that should only be used to call out the Chinese government, who controls it for their atrocities and human rights abuses. Seriously, y'all, memes and jokes are fun, but downloading the spyware of an authoritarian regime is not. Fast forward to August 1st.
After Trump comes out against.
Imagine TikTok. Being so scared teenagers are going to vote you out that you ban one of their top platforms for communication. And he got called out so heavy on Twitter that he came back out and said, just so for everyone saying, yes, I did say this. And for all the people screenshotting my old tweets, well, I do feel that TikTok is a national security threat. But I think that the reason Donald Trump's coming out against it now, blah, 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 trying to explain the fact, which is very simple.
Doesn't
he should just say
the Harvard Beautiful People exemption that he can just say whatever he wants and get away with it.
Well,
kind of like Nancy Pelosi accusing the president of promoting Lysol.
He's a hypocrite. I mean, that's what the tweet said. Right. It was his way of explaining.
Harvard, of course, he's a hypocrite.
I'm a hypocrite.
He's an ass, a pluperfect ass.
They
and
just don't think that Twitter applies to them. Like, we can find old tweets too, y'all. It's not just you. We can find them too. And speaking of hypocrites, I want to talk briefly because it is a big story and I've been meaning to talk about it the last couple of weeks. And I'm just getting more and more intrigued about the Ellen DeGeneres story that is unraveling. Ellen DeGeneres is being canceled, basically. And
I thought she said she wasn't. First, they said that she was going to leave the show. She wanted to quit. And then one of her executive producers,
Andy
who hasn't
Lassner.
Been fired, said that she's not leaving the show.
That no one's quitting the show. But here's what I find more interesting. I have seen more tweets from conservative pundits and journalists defending Ellen DeGeneres than any of her Hollywood left-wing friends that she's had on the show for decades. Jennifer Aniston, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Justin Bieber, all these people came on the show over and over again. And can I get crickets, Taylor? I haven't heard one peep from anyone. In fact, the brother from Everybody Loves Raymond, the one who's like, Ray.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Thank you, Taylor. He came out and said, oh yeah, I totally, and I'm paraphrasing like I always do. He basically came out and said, oh yeah, I totally saw this when I was there. It starts at the head. She was, you know, involved in the toxic environment.
Have any of these conservative talking heads ever been on her show?
No, but I think their point
maybe is, that's why they're defending her, because they haven't experienced it.
I think they're defending her because they don't like cancel culture in general, and they don't like that once the mob turns on you, you're done.
You know, what I found interesting was that according to these stories that I've read, they had heterosexual sexual harassment and homosexual sexual harassment. You know, whatever which way you went, if you worked at the Ellen DeGeneres show, you were young, you were going to be harassed.
They're an anti-discriminatory employer.
I found it interesting that she wouldn't let people look at her. That was one of her bugaboos.
That's a Hillary Clinton thing.
Don't look at me. I find that strange, because if you're a celebrity and you love attention, wouldn't you want people looking at you? But they would send people into her and they would say, don't look at Ellen. Don't talk to Ellen. Don't even think about Ellen. Leave Ellen alone.
What happens when Hillary Clinton and Ellen DeGeneres get together? Because neither one of them allows the other one to look at them. I mean,
they both turn to stone. Yeah, so that would be interesting to see how it unravels. I mean, even like Obama and all those politicians, they loved. Obama went on her show. Remember, he danced. That was his, you know, big moment coming into the mainstream. And no one's defending her. Everyone's just letting her get canceled.
Is she gone?
Well, she came out with a statement on Friday where she basically said, it wasn't my fault. It was everyone who worked for me. I couldn't, you know, control what happened.
What did Mike Dukakis used to say when he was running for president? The fish rots from the head.
Yeah. The buck does not stop at Ellen DeGeneres' coffee mug. It keeps going. In other news, speaking of Obama, he has released his list of candidate endorsements, notably skipping Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So he says it's just the first round of these, so he might, you know, come out later and endorse her. We all know he loves a late endorsement. Joe.
Doesn't do much good, though.
Yeah, no.
And just ask Senator Coakley here in Massachusetts.
I think it's kind of ironic, though,
Clinton,
that Obama was kind of, he's obviously very into Obama, and he never really put in a lot of effort for Hillary Clinton. Like, it didn't seem very genuine that he wanted her to win. But now that all this stuff is being uncovered that would have never been uncovered if Hillary Clinton had been in office, it's interesting to see Obama now trying to scramble to get Trump out of there. like, oh, we want to take back the Senate. He didn't care at all when Hillary Clinton was running because he just didn't want to put in the effort.
Well, he thought they were going to win, too. He didn't think it was necessary.
But still, that's what you get. You're not supposed to just let it ride because you already got your shot. You're supposed to help your party win. And now it's all coming forward. Hopefully they release it soon. When we get back, Howie, we want to talk about a couple of recent polls, including Real Clear Politics, Rasmussen, and Joe Concha had a bit to say on what he thinks the polls mean for Joe Biden and Trump. Might be a tighter race than people initially thought.
I hope so. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Today's poll question is sponsored by our friends at MassFiscal.org. MassFiscal has led the charge against tax increases here in Massachusetts, most recently opposing the horrible TCI, that's Transportation Climate Initiative, gas tax. Sign up for free at MassFiscal.org now. They passed it late night, early morning hours on Friday, Saturday, and by a vote of 142-17 with no media around. 142-17 to double the gas taxes in Massachusetts. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which treatment would you take to help prevent contracting coronavirus? Take a vaccine, hydroxychloroquine, or you're really not all that worried about contracting the virus?
I'm not all that worried, but I'd take a vaccine.
23% say they'd go for a vaccine. 36% say hydroxy would do it for them. 42% say they're not worried about it.
I would do the hydroxy.
You would?
Yeah. I mean, it's been used for everything else. It's been used for malaria for years.
Yeah. But I mean, how long do you have to take it?
I think 7 days. It's like a Z-Pack, I think. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. All right,
by
guys.
Way, someone thinks that Ellen's downfall was when she was at that baseball or football game with George Bush.
I think it was the Dallas Cowboys game. Yeah. She sat in a box suite with the Bushes, and then she went on her show and wouldn't apologize for it, and she basically said, they're friends of mine. I disagree with their politics, but we can still be friends. So yeah, that very well could be what
that's probably
what did her in.
The end of the line
and
for Ellen.
And she wouldn't turn her back on Kevin Hart when the Oscars was getting mad at him for not apologizing for old homophobic tweets, which he had already apologized for. He refused to apologize again, and I think Ellen had him on the show to kind of talk about it. So that was also strike two. That's the thing. It's going to come for everybody. It's coming for Ellen now, but it's going to come for all of us.
Yeah, there was a great column in the Wall Street Journal today by a guy named Lance Morrow. He's he's older because he remembers Joe McCarthy. He was an intern or a page when Joe McCarthy was in the Senate. So he's got to be like 80 or so. And he says, Joe McCarthy was a B-movie monster. Today's cancel culture is more like a zombie apocalypse. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good way to put it. It's much more ubiquitous. I mean, a lot of the people that were involved in, the McCarthyite hearings, they knew a lot of it was overstated. And they let people work, just change their names. But these people don't want you to ever work again. I mean, ask Ellen.
And it's crazy because you always say a conservative is a Democrat or a Republican is a Democrat that's been mugged. But now I would say a Republican is a Democrat who's been canceled because people are canceled all the time now. I don't think they really learned their lesson. But even when I start to feel I take the Tucker Carlson approach, which is people should be able to say whatever they want and not lose their jobs. People's jobs should not come into it to a certain extent. Obviously, if you do something completely outrageous, but you should be able to voice your opinions no matter what they are without losing your livelihood. But it's interesting because these people who get canceled right now are the ones who started this and they don't understand it even after it happens to them. Sometimes a celebrity will get in trouble, right? And cancel culture will come for them. And then like a month later, it will fade off and it will come from somebody else. And that same celebrity who was canceled a month before comes for the new celebrity and throws their two cents in. Nobody ever has the wherewithal to say, I've been there. It kind of stinks. Maybe we don't do this anymore. Everybody jumps on the next person like hyenas. I hate cancel culture. I hate it. Anyway, in some optimistic news, Joe Konta tweeted this out today. Seeing a few things in polling recently, Biden was up more than 10 in the RCP, that's Real Clear Politics, average on June 25th. That's down to 7.4 now. Trump at 51% in Rasmussen today after dipping...
Favorability, yeah.
After dipping to 42 in late June. Debates may be the whole ball game given Biden's play not to lose strategy.
That's why they're saying, no debates, no debates.
The
clamor is getting louder by the day from the Democrats.
The fact is that I don't remember.
I mean, I know Twitter, someone told me this the other day. They said Twitter's 6% of the population and only 3% are actually active on Twitter. So you can't really base what's trending and stuff. It's not a real look at the universe. But some of the responses to Joe Konta's tweet scare me. Someone said, well, why do they, debates don't even show you anything. Why don't they just have them do pre-recorded answers and play them to the public? And someone said, the whole point of debates is how you answer
right
off the cuff.
Yeah, how you work, how you operate under pressure, how you ad-lib.
The whole program would just be Joe trying to talk back to pre-recorded questions.
It's really.
Yeah, we've seen that show. That's the show that sometimes gets as many as 29 or 30 viewers on YouTube.
I know. Joe makes me look like a YouTube star. Hi, YouTubers. Florida reports lowest single-day increase in coronavirus cases since June.
We don't need to hear about that. Yeah. Yeah, get rid of that. Come on.
Seth Moulton would not be happy with that. He wants all these red states to get their comeuppance, in case you haven't heard.
In case Seth didn't know this, the representative who said that he was kind of happy that the red states were getting their comeuppance. Seth, 63% of the victims in Texas are either black or Hispanic.
Well, this is what I find crazy. And I'm just going to focus. I know right now we're on Newsmax, so it's national, but I'm going to focus on Massachusetts for a second. Charlie Parker goes on every day about how we need to be responsible, and you know, if it infects somebody, you know, this is prime time. This is when we need to keep our guard up. But it seems like prime time would have been at the beginning with the nursing homes, because now we're keeping all these 20-somethings at home forever, out of the bars, out of the restaurants, and they're most likely not going to die from it anyway.
Most likely is an understatement.
Understatement. But he goes on there and yells at all of us, and I just keep thinking to myself, he keeps saying about responsibility, mm-hmm. about responsibility. And when I think back to that press conference when he talked about the report ad nauseum, he didn't take enough responsibility to qualify yelling at all
of
us.
He said he's very concerned that the testing rate now in this state, Massachusetts, is 2%, right? 2%. That's a big problem. But when the riots were going on, and people were looting and shooting at cops in downtown Boston, torching buildings, the rate of infection was over 2%, and he thought that was a good thing.
So I had
because they were rioting, and he thought it was good.
Right.
So if you're breaking the law and you get infected, you're a good guy. If you're not breaking the law and you get infected, you're a bad person, and he's going to have to crack down on you.
That's the thing. And people say, well, why don't you just wear this? Or why are you so anti-masker? And I'm not really, but I just feel everything's so arbitrary. It's like one of these things is going to help and one of these isn't. They take your cell phone number down if you go to a restaurant, but then if you get a sandwich, they don't. So you're less likely to spread it picking up a sandwich than you are eating down. Like the coronavirus just has this weird thing. It's very particular.
This is a great column today about how America lived through the Asian flu of 1957 by Dan Horowitz. We'll get to that. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. At this time every Monday, we are joined by Joe DeGeneva, the former U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, and we discuss the latest developments in the ongoing saga of Obamagate, the Russian collusion hoax that has been used to try to delegitimize the Trump administration, and before that, the Trump transition, before that, the Trump campaign, and the powers that be in the Justice Department are trying to get to the bottom, but we talk about how much success they're having or not having. Joe, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show, and this is the first appearance you've made since Bill Barr's appearance last week before the House Judiciary Committee.
Well, wasn't that a delightful experience for both the viewers
and, it was.
And Bill Barr? What you saw on display at that hearing was the complete devolution of the Democratic Party into satire and tragic comedy. It was perhaps the single most embarrassing congressional hearing I've ever watched. I've never seen such duplicity, dishonorable conduct deployed in the name of the House of Representatives. It was really embarrassing for those of us who have worked in the Senate and the House and performed legitimate investigative functions, watching the smearing of the Attorney General, the rudeness to the Attorney General, the complete lack of decorum, and the obvious joy that the chairman, Jerry Nadler, was taking in this was, I must say, I've never seen anything like it in the House. I've seen some bad hearings where an individual congressman made a fool of himself, but the entire Democratic side embarrassed itself immensely, and I think they hurt themselves. I think it was so bad and so awful in every sense of that word that they did some serious damage to themselves, mm-hmm. not only as a party, but individually.
Now, there was mention made by Bill Barr of something that I had known about before. I don't think most people had, that there's a U.S. attorney in, I believe, West Texas, by the name of John Bash. And he is yes. looking in, apparently, to the unmasking of people other than the usual members of the Trump campaign and inner circle, like Carter Page, Papadopoulos, Roger Stone, Trump himself.
Yes.
What do you know about this investigation that's going on? How many people are involved in this, or how many people were wronged by the previous administration? And how soon are we going to get to the bottom of this?
Well, the answer to how many people were wronged is hundreds of people. Now, what is this investigation about? Howie, you and I have talked about this for a year and a half. The FBI allowed three, perhaps four, FBI contractors, we don't know who they are, to illegally access NSA databases and unmask American citizens. Nobody knows what happened to that data or how it was used. The reason we know all of this is because the FISA court, in the form of Judge Collier, followed by other FISA court rulings by other judges, Judge Collier found that beginning in 2014, the FBI allowed these contractors to illegally access NSA databases with the names of Americans and then do what they call upstream data searching, telephones, emails, text messages, but also then the telephones, text messages, and emails of the people with whom those people were communicating.
Right.
You have an exponential massive invasion of privacy, and that is what Mr. Bash is investigating. And may I say, this has been out in the public arena for more than 2 years. Judge Collier's opinion was available, even though it's turgid reading.
Right, it is.
You can try and find a story about it in the mainstream media, and you will find nothing.
So, how soon is this report going to come out? Because this seems even more complicated than what Durham is investigating, and we're running out of time here rapidly.
Well, listen, the reason we're running out of time is because Rod Rosenstein began an outrageously, falsely generated Mueller probe, which stole 3 years of the president's agenda, and he couldn't get an attorney general confirmed until Bill Barr. Bill Barr has been moving with lightning speed. I think the Bash investigation actually is a lot less complicated than it looks, because the court already knows who the contractors were who illegally accessed the data. Mr. Bash has access to a grand jury. This is not a complicated matter. The NSA has the data. They know the people that were searched. The three contractors know what they did with the information. The issue is, who authorized the contractors to do this, and why did they do it? And the answer is, if you go down to Atlanta to John Lewis's funeral, and you look at the ferocity of Barack Hussein Obama's attack, false attack on President Trump, you know that the person behind all of this was Barack Obama. He knew that this stuff was going on. Eric Holder authorized this stuff. That's where they're headed. This is ugly stuff, let me tell you. And even though Barack Obama is not going to be indicted, he's going to be talked about in these reports and in the discussions. And I would just like to see him mentioned as president. They don't mention his name. They'll just say co-conspirator president number 40, whatever he was.
It'll be individual A. You know how it works, right?
Yeah, the big A. By the way, when you saw that speech that he gave, this total political, this incredibly outrageous, rude speech that he gave at John Lewis's funeral, you knew what this guy's all about. This guy is pure viciousness. He hates this country. He hates America. Sure, he wanted to transform it into Cuba. And he didn't get it. He was so lazy that he couldn't even figure out how to do his job. Unbelievable guy. I hope they nail his fanny with every fact about what he did. And he knew this was going on from day one. What a disgusting president.
This is why I don't think Susan Rice will be the vice presidential candidate with Joe Biden, because she's
nominator.
Dirty. I would love it. That would be great. That would keep it. That would keep it in the news. Let's talk about the Michael Flynn case, the yep. First Circuit Court of Appeals, the entire First Circuit Court of Appeals, which is majority Obama and Clinton appointees, is now going to take up the case about whether or not the charging should remain open on Michael Flynn, even though he will be pardoned if it comes down to it. What's the next step here? Are they going to actually hear the case
It is already scheduled for oral argument, I believe August, sometime in late August. But here's what this is about. This is one of the single worst decisions of any federal. This is the first time in the history of the federal judiciary that an en banc hearing for a granting of a mandamus has ever been granted. Now, why did they do this? Why would they inject themselves into this when the law is so clear that Judge Sullivan didn't have any standing to ask for the rehearing, that the law is clear that this is a separation of powers argument, that Judge Sullivan cannot force the government to explain its position any further than it already has. He cannot force them to go forward with the sentencing when they say there is no case which they wish to bring. What is the purpose of the court doing this then, knowing as you game it out that the only thing that can happen is that the government will refuse to go forward, Judge Sullivan will say you have to, he'll hold the government in contempt, they'll immediately go up, and it'll go to the Supreme Court, and he will lose, and the D.C. Circuit will lose 9-0. They did this, the D.C. Circuit, for one reason. They vacated the June 24th opinion of Judge Rao, which lambasted Sullivan
right.
and Gleason, his ridiculous amicus. Now, why did they do that? They wanted the ruling against Sullivan obliterated from the record, so it will not become part of federal law that will be reported in the law reports. But secondly, they wanted to give him a chance to save face by doing something bizarre and stupid at the trial court level. This is not the role for a federal appellate court. This was an embarrassing gesture for them. This is something that will haunt them now for the rest of their tenures on that court. This was an act of politics, not an act of law. And they showed it by the way they said, here's the question they want answered. Is there some other remedy available to the court other than mandamus in a situation like this? Well, as Joe Biden says, what a bunch of malarkey.
What about the New York Times is now going after the Federalist, Joe? You saw that, I guess.
Of course. Why not? They're the ones that find all these great people to be federal judges.
So the Federalist website where Sean Davis, Molly Hemingway, Ben DeMensch, they all work there. And they do a fantastic job, as far as I could tell.
Yes.
And
yes.
So the New York Times is now after them because they're pointing out that their Pulitzer Prize that they received with the Washington Post for 2017 was just totally bogus, and it was for reporting on a collusion and on a hoax about collusion that they had every reason to know was totally bogus. And so the New York Times responds by trying to slime the Federalist for calling them out. It really is something how far the New York Times has fallen, isn't it?
Look, Howie, it's not a newspaper anymore. That clearly, when you listen to the 1619 Project, when you listen to Dean Baquet's discussions with his staff, when you see the rantings of the staff when they go after Barry Weiss for her criticism of the staff itself. This is no longer a great, this is not the gray old lady. This is a hooker. I mean, this is one of the worst institutions in America now. They perform no function that's legitimately recognizable under the First Amendment. And what they are doing is they are turning people against journalism. And that's been going on for some time. The Washington Post comes in second for abdicating its responsibilities under the First Amendment. And what they are doing is they're creating an atmosphere where when the right case comes along, New York Times versus Sullivan is going to be revisited and the actual malice standard is going to be changed. Because the truth is these newspapers are actual malice every single day.
Do you think the Covington High School kid got some money? The CNN was putting out tweets making it seem like they really hadn't, the Washington Post and CNN had just given him basically a nuisance, get lost kid type settlements. Do you think he actually got some money or was it just as CNN reported?
I don't think Lynn Wood is a boaster. I think he's a doer and an achiever. I don't think Lynn Wood, when he said he gave him a birthday present, was talking about walk-away money like $10,000 or $20,000. I think it's in the millions.
I hope so.
Because you know what? And I'll tell you why. Because the Washington Post cannot take a trial. Neither can CNN. Because when you get into discovery on this, which the court was about to allow, that's when the damage is done. Because that's when people start to find out the machinations that go on in newsrooms, editorial rooms, and that's what they cannot have come out. They paid a lot of bucks, believe me. They paid a lot of bucks.
I hope so. And I hope he continues going after the rest of these hookers, as you so aptly described the media outlets. Joe, thank you for being with us, and we'll talk to you again next week. I appreciate it. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
The First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston vacated the death sentence for the Boston Marathon bomber, Joe Carr, the Joker, Sarnaev, on Friday. And President Trump tweeted about it and said the death penalty needs to be reinstated if they have to have a new trial to reinstate the death penalty. He's still guilty of the actual bombing and the mass murders, but they're going to have to have a second death penalty trial. And the president tweeted out on Sunday that he was all in favor of it, and this thing had gone on too long. I agree with him, and he said that there should be a death penalty for this Muslim terrorist, and I agree with that too. I wrote a column about it. You can read it at howiecarshow.com, and just it's right at the top of the page about the death penalty for Tsarnaev. He came in as an asylum seeker, which enabled him and his entire worthless family to go on welfare. They were supported by the taxpayers while they learned to be terrorists. They even used their EBT cards to buy the pressure cookers to kill American citizens at the Boston Marathon back in 2013. It's just a shame that he hasn't been executed already. But you can read my column at howiecarshow.com, and it's right at the top there. Check it out. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Hi, Howie. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks.
I have a story to tell you. My wife, she broke her hip, and she went back into the hospital on April 28th and tested negative for the virus. On May 1st, they moved her into a care facility, and they didn't tell us that they had infected patients. Of course, she came down with the China virus, and they put her on a regimen of hydroxychloroquine, the Z-Pak and stuff. So she's cured. She's tested 5 times positive. In the state of California, that is counted as one person each test, not one person for 5 tests.
So in other words, she's down on the California coronavirus dashboard as 5 people, 5 different people.
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that going on in a lot of states, David, don't you?
Yeah, that's why the death is so low in California and the infectious rate is so high.
Right, right. And you know, David, the more tests you do, the more positive results you're going to have. And yet a lot of people who are testing positive, even if they test positive, they're in low risk groups. And low risk groups is basically anybody under the age of 70, unless you have an underlying condition, a comorbidity. I'm glad your wife recovered, David. Jim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Howie, Jim, Pennsylvania Coal Region, the only Wild West towns east of the Mississippi. This concerns a comment that President Trump made about MS-13. That they were animals.
Yes.
Now, Howie, anybody who has a brain that doesn't rattle knows exactly what he was talking about.
Right.
And I watched Pelosi twist it to the point where Trump called Hispanics animals.
Right.
I think she's been in the basement with Biden. Maybe it's a radon exposure.
Well, what about more recently, Jim? Just today she said that she couldn't trust Dr. Birx because Dr. Birx had stood by while Trump said that people should inject themselves with Lysol. Swallow Lysol. Swallow Lysol. Ridiculous. You're right. Something, she's off her game, too. Thanks for the call, Jim. I'm Howie Carr.